morning and out to school. The teacher is teaching the golden rule. American history and practical math. You study them hard and hoping to
It's time for a Griswold School update here on KCSI KOAK Radio. Be sure to thank your friends at Griswold Communications and Armor Insurance for making this update possible here on Country Sunshine Radio. Now let's see what's happening with the Griswold Community School District.
And this morning, we're going to have the opportunity now to visit with the superintendent of the Griswold Community School District and the Lenox Community School District, Mr. Dave Henrich. Good morning to you, Mr. Henrich.
Good morning, Aaron.
How are you this morning?
Doing okay. It looks like a nice day out, a little rain overnight, but other than that, we're off to a good start.
It is. Last day of class is when?
Tomorrow for both Griswold and Lenox.
Ready for that?
I think so. Kids are kind of winding down. We finished some tests, some fun activities are happening at both districts, and teachers are packing up some things and winding down the school year.
So what's going on the last couple days here? Are you packing everything in?
Yeah,
or are you
just... So there's a lot of things, as I mentioned. So I'll highlight a few things as we go through today. So tomorrow is the last day of classes. So for Griswold, we do have early dismissal. Elementary students are dismissed tomorrow at 11:15, and middle school, high school students are dismissed at 12:25. Kind of tradition at Griswold, as far as staff are concerned, once school is out, we're pretty fortunate. Our board provides a staff lunch for our teachers, which is kind of cool. And the ironic thing is May is board recognition month. And so how do they celebrate? They cook lunch for us. So that, but I would, speaking of that, like to take a moment to say thanks to our school board. It's a pretty thankless job. I can only imagine that in most cases, the only time they really hear from the public is when people are upset. But I've been very fortunate. I've been a school administrator for 28 years, and the board certainly challenges me, and I'm sure I challenge them at time. And we don't always see eye to eye, but when we don't, it's for a good reason. But been very fortunate to have great boards at both school districts that we work together for a common purpose. So want to send a shout out to them. And again, they provide this staff lunch at their own expense. They don't charge the cost back to the school. It's out of their own pocket, and our staff really appreciate that. So that will happen tomorrow at the end of the day. And then following lunch, we do a little awards ceremony, so to speak, where we just take a little time to celebrate the end of the year, and then we recognize various staff members for reaching various milestones of tenure with the district.
Yeah.
And then also like to mention that part of the celebration that kind of happened yesterday was our parent-teacher organization each year recognizes a teacher of the year and a support staff person of the year. Staff nominates different people. And then voting occurs. So Pat Carlson was selected as Teacher of the Year through that selection process. Pat's been a longtime science teacher for our district, and she's actually retiring at the end of the school year.
Oh, wow.
And then Stephanie Meyer was selected as the support staff employee of the year. She is a paraeducator at the middle school, high school. So, again, we have a lot of deserving people. I'm sure there were a lot of people nominated, but those were the two that were selected by our PTO. And, again, special thanks to that organization. We have a lot of groups just like the school board, PTO, Booster Club, that support our kids and districts. So special thanks to them as well.
That's pretty cool, and congratulations to those individuals.
Absolutely.
All righty. Let's talk about some of the graduating class. Tell me about your graduating class.
Yeah, so even though we're winding down at the end of the school year, so a lot of stuff going on, and I'm going to take a step back for a second. I would like to honor the class of 26 one last time. Last Sunday was our graduation ceremony. We had 23 students. I thought the ceremony went well. Tanner Scholl was recognized as a valedictorian, and Josie Milliken was honored as a salutatorian. One thing that, to my knowledge anyway, at both school districts that I've never had happen in my tenure was we had a student that obviously not only graduated from high school, but she also earned her associate's degree from Iowa Western.
That's pretty cool.
Delilah Kinzer did that. So as she walked across the stage and her name was read, Mr. Lemke noted that she's also had earned that. So I hope we have more kids. Obviously, we have several kids that earn credits through college. Uh-huh. But again, to my knowledge, I'm not sure we've ever had a student that earned both. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And so we recognized her during graduation on Sunday.
That's pretty neat. And what a great start.
Absolutely.
To walk out with your high school diploma and that's pretty cool.
You bet.
So how are we doing, Mr. Henrich, when we look at positions within the district? Because, you know, it's end of this year. You've been working on next year for a while already, but tell me about it.
That's one of the tricks to this time of year is you obviously still have plenty of things to do to finish up this year, but you got to start working on next year. And the principals have been doing a great job of balancing those things. We made a lot of strides in terms of positions for next school year, but we do still have a few openings. In terms of teaching positions, what we have left is an elementary classroom. We're always trying to be flexible, meaning we would flip-flop some people if a candidate was a better fit in one position than another one. If we had our preference, the position would be a fifth-grade position that we'd like to fill.
Okay.
But elementary classroom is what we're looking for. And then, as I mentioned before, Mrs. Carlson is retiring in high school science, so we still have that position opening. And then outside of the classroom, we have several coaching openings as well as some other support positions. And if people are interested in working for our district, they can go to our webpage to find the full list of those openings. They can also go to Teach Iowa because we're legally obligated to list all of our openings there. And at any point, if anyone would like to apply for those positions, they can submit applications online. They can send them to me, any of the principals. And the same is true. If they have questions, they can be directed to me or either one of our building principals.
Okay. We've wrapped the legislative session. Now a lot of those are being signed into law, and it always seems like there's a lot of impact on our schools over the last few, for sure.
Absolutely.
So bring me up to date with, I don't know, some that you're looking at, some that concern you, or maybe where are we at with that, Mr.
Sure.
Mr. Henrich?
So last Monday was our last board meeting, and as you mentioned, boy, it seems like every year there's this more and more bills that impact education, and some more than others. And one of the most difficult things for us in a school setting is you kind of need to know the details, or what I call the rules, to fully implement some of those things.
Yep.
And the Department of Ed is often tasked with writing those rules or guidelines that we really need to know to implement those things. And often there's policies that have to be written or put into play to substantiate those rules, but you got to have the rules before you can do that. And again,
here we go.
Yes.
Yeah.
And typically policies, you must have two readings to really put those in force. And again, most of these rules or laws are technically supposed to go into effect July 1st. So if you do the math, two readings, if you say, July 1st reading, August 2nd reading, you're already behind. But what we have been told is that the people that write the rules from the Department of Ed meet in a committee form, and they're scheduled to meet two times to write these rules. One of the meetings have already happened, which was May 14th. The other one is June 13th. So we're expected maybe to get the guidance by the end of June. So again, if you do the math as far as timing, we're kind of behind the eight ball.
I see a problem.
And then again, in fairness, the principals are not under contract all summer, and I don't expect them to work all summer, and it's just hard to get all these things accomplished. So, and we will, but it's tough.
Yeah.
So we're kind of on hold until we get some of this guidance, and we will get things accomplished, but it's tough. But some of the things that we're keeping an eye on in terms of legislative laws are unspent authorized budget cap.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe this will impact Griswold. It might Lenox. But this is a part of the property tax bill, And what it does is it limits the unspent authorized budget of a district and puts that cap on 35%. And so this can be a little confusing for people because school budgets school budgets are different than your budget or my budget because of just the way that works. So spending authority is your legal right to spend money. It's not necessarily cash. And that's where it really gets wonky to begin with. But mm-hmm. I understand the rationale behind it because in some cases, and both of my districts are kind of the same way, we typically try to keep our levy rates fairly similar from year to year, not a lot of ups and downs. And there are some years where we could lower our levy rate a little bit, but we don't necessarily do that because there's a fear that if we lower it one year and go back to where we were the next year, then people are upset because you raised my taxes, even though we're just raising it back to where it was previously. Mm-hmm. So, yes, maybe some years property taxes are just a little bit higher than they would have to be, but the next year they're actually lower than they could have been. So it kind of evens out. So what they're saying is to try to eliminate that, they're putting a cap on that spending authority. But again, spending authority is not cash.
Right.
There's a difference.
Yes.
So they're putting a cap on that spending authority. That the problem is, again, without knowing the rules, is how are they going to figure that spending authority, that formula? So we don't know that right now. And then if you are over that cap, what are they going to do about it? Are they going to just take spending authority away like tomorrow? Because, again, this is effective July 1st.
Yes.
And so how is that going to impact schools? And
keep in mind they're not meeting till late June.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we're certainly not going to do this, but some schools may react by, boy, if we think we're over, we're going to start spending money to get under that cap just to make sure. We're not going to do that, I guarantee you. And that would be a very poor choice of use of district funds, but that may be a response of some districts. So it's just the unknown's kind of scary sometimes.
Yeah.
But that's just one that'll be interesting moving forward.
So spending authority, Mr. Henrich, so let's say you gave me $1 million, which I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, if I had it, I may share but some you with would, you.
But you'd say, here's $1 million, Aaron, but you can only spend $350,000.
Yeah.
Is that a dumbed-down version of spending authority?
Well, I look like this. Think of a credit card, right? So a credit card, you're spending, your credit card limit would be your spending authority.
Mm-hmm.
You have the authority to charge this much. But the flip side of it is you may not have the cash in your bank account to pay off that, right?
Yeah.
So there's a difference. And some schools
Which a lot of people do that.
Yeah.
But
some schools have more cash in their pocket than they have the authority on their credit card, where other schools have the opposite. And mm-hmm. in the perfect world, they're even, and not all schools have that.
Right.
So.
Okay.
So anyway, that's something.
We'll see what happens with that.
To keep an eye on. So
save.
Yes.
What's going on with save?
Yep. So this is also part of the property tax bill. And back when this originally started, it was done on a county by county basis. And of course, over time, it's been passed statewide, where anybody that purchases something in Iowa that is taxable pays an extra penny. And it goes into a state fund, and at the end of the year, that extra penny is divided up among all school districts on a per pupil basis.
Mm-hmm.
And it was originally promised that this will continue. A positive thing about this recent bill was that SAVE tax for schools have been extended through 2071, which is good.
Yeah.
A negative is that. They are taking away a portion of that penny save that has been promised to schools and are now going to use that to backfill some of the property tax that the recent legislation have said we're going to save or reduce everyone else's property taxes, right?
Right.
And so what that does for us as a school district, it provides less funding for infrastructure, buses, those types of purposes. So there's some impact now and some impact down the road. So, of course, the amount of money that the state as a whole receives in this one-cent sales tax fluctuates year to year. And then per district, it depends on how much or how many students we have. But as we look towards next year, we'll receive roughly $82 less per student for this purpose.
Wow.
And this percent that's reduced changes each year till it ramps up from 5 years from now. We'll have a 25% reduction in the amount of save dollars that we receive.
Wow.
So, again, there's no guarantees of how much save dollars we get each year because, again, it changes state by state. You're not year by year across the state and how many kids you have. But if we use today's dollars, that 25% is about $150,000 for us. So that's a school bus.
Yeah, that's a lot. I mean, that's significant.
It is. And so that's a little frustrating. Again, the fortunate thing for both of my districts is we do have a loan against the SAVE funds. However, both of those loans will be paid off in 3 years, and we will continue to receive more SAVE dollars, way more SAVE dollars than what our loan payment is. But for some school districts, they have borrowed pretty much to the penny of what their anticipated SAVE revenue is. So 3 to 5 years down the road, when that SAVE reduction is in full force, their loan payment is going to be more than what they're going to be receiving in SAVE dollars because they were pretty much guaranteed the SAVE dollars are going to be there forever, and now they're not.
Right.
So that's going to be pretty impactful for some districts. But again, fortunately, that's not the case for the two districts that I serve.
And this was signed, correct?
I believe so.
And for, yeah, I think it was.
That was part of the property tax bill, so yes.
And I think that was signed officially. So
yes.
Athletics. And Dave Hendricks with me too, by the way, superintendent of the Griswold Community Schools. What do we have going on with athletics, Mr. Hendricks?
Yep, so there's a couple pieces to this that I shared with the board. So the first part of that, deals with open enrollment. So before this bill changed, when a student chooses to open enroll, they are currently ineligible for varsity athletics for 90 school days. The change in the law moves that to 140 calendar days. The basic reason for that change is due to the fact that there's been a lot of schools that it shifted to a four-day school week.
Okay.
So it just makes it more fair and equitable to count days that way.
Okay.
The benefit to kids, actually, is that now students get to count the summer days.
Yeah.
Because before, summer days didn't count because those weren't school days.
Right.
And now summer days will be included. So that will help some kids knock off some ineligibility days over the summer. But
All right.
That doesn't go affect until
The upcoming school year?
Yeah. So okay. That won't catch them this summer, but it will next summer.
Okay.
The other piece with this one that's going to be pretty interesting for a lot of reasons is eighth graders are now eligible to participate in varsity athletics, which that's been true for several years, a long time as far as I know, for baseball, softball.
Yep.
But now it's all other activities. And here are the things that I find interesting about that. So, first of all, I think about this bill was actually proposed a year ago and didn't pass. But when it was proposed a year ago, football was excluded from that. And I think about over the last couple of years how many football programs canceled their varsity season due to concern out of safety.
Mm-hmm.
And a year ago, football was not included. Right.
Yeah.
And now football is in there, but I find that curious.
Well,
why they would include football? Because if schools are canceling football due to safety, and a lot of times you hear because they're younger, too small. Why are we including eighth graders in that now? But anyway, I find that funny.
Well, yes, I'm not a fan of this overall.
No.
Personally, I don't. To me, it is trying to address fewer students in our schools. And I don't think that's necessarily the way to do that. I do think there are safety concerns.
Yep.
There's a lot of difference between an eighth grader and a senior.
Agreed.
And there could be some pretty significant injuries, in my opinion. Yep.
I think we talked a lot about this at the superintendent level, and I think the issue is participation. That's the problem.
Yes.
And this is a Band-Aid solution.
100%. I just don't think this is, in my opinion,
yep.
which means –
No.
You know, you can take my opinion of $3 and buy a pop when you leave here, Mr. But
from the circle I talk to, you are in the majority of opinions. So.
Yeah.
Other interesting points is it should be pointed out this is a local control thing, so every school can decide how they want to handle it case by case basis. So other issues that may come up is there may be some difference of opinion, whether it's a school opinion or a parent opinion about whether a particular student should be moved up or not, right? Mm-hmm. You know, a parent may say, I don't understand how come my eighth grader is not playing a varsity sport, and, you know, the school or the coach may feel a different way. So that could be a little touchy.
Yeah.
I worry about if we got to be cautious about how many eighth graders we move up, because now in some cases, and it's going to vary year to year, sport to sport, what that does to our middle school teams, right?
Yeah, sure.
Again, both of my schools, depending upon the sport and year, sometimes we don't have a lot of extra middle school kids. So if we bring up too many eighth graders, because I'm assuming there's going to still be limitations on how many games kids can play,
yeah.
Now you could be at risk of not having a middle school team.
Yep.
So to me, if we're going to make a change of allowing somebody to play up, I'd rather look at sixth graders coming up and play middle school. Honestly.
Right. Yeah.
But what do I know?
Has this been signed? Is this in force now?
I honestly don't know that.
Okay.
With you.
All right.
The other piece that I find very interesting is this, and again, I don't know it all, but we had both the executive director of the Iowa High School Athletic Association and the Girls Athletic Union come to our most recent AEA superintendents meeting, which would have been the first Wednesday of the month. Come talk to us here at Red Oak, and they shared this with us. So baseball and softball are excluded because eighth graders have been able to play varsity baseball, softball for years. So you got to discount that. But Chapter 36, there's a scholarship rule included, and it states, again, not baseball, softball, or everything else, states that an individual is only eligible to play varsity athletics for 8 semesters. So starting next year, without a change to Chapter 36, if a student plays varsity football or varsity basketball as an 8th grader, and they continue their 8th grade year, 9th grade year, 10th and 11th, they've now played 8 semesters of varsity sports. So without a change to Chapter 36, when they get to be a senior under the current rule, they're now ineligible their senior year. And so obviously there's got to be a change there because of this law. And I'm sure there will be, but that's just part of the whole scenario that we mentioned before of there's got to be a lot of thought put into these guidance and rules before all these things are implemented. So
yeah,
that's a piece that's got to be rectified.
Yes.
But they have 4 years to do that, obviously, because if an eighth grader starts playing next
right.
year, it's going to be 4 years before they get to be that senior and have a problem. So
okay. there's work to be done. There's
Absolutely.
Work to be done.
Yep.
Five-year-olds in preschool. What's...
Yeah, so I think this is a good thing. So the current rule as far as ages with four-year-old preschool is in order to be involved in the voluntary four-year-old preschool program is they must be 4 years of age before September 15th of that school year that they want to be in the preschool program. And typically to be in kindergarten, they have to be 5 years of age by that September 15th. But what this law allows now is a student that might be on the younger side to wait a year and come back and be in the four-year-old preschool program. So if a student turns 5, after March 15th, they could hold out a year and come back the next year and be in that four-year-old preschool program when they're five. So it allows the parents to hold them out a year instead of starting them really early.
Mm-hmm.
And so the school district can allow them to be in the four-year-old preschool program when they're five and still get funding for that. What schools can't do is allow them to be in the four-year-old preschool program twice. So
okay. It
just gives parents options for those kids that are kind of on the younger side and gives parents a choice, which I think is a good thing.
Well, we may need to start having kids start kindergarten at seven so that they're good in eighth grade to play football.
Yeah, yeah.
So, that's a joke.
No.
So there you go.
Very good.
Dave Hendricks with me, superintendent of the Griswold and the Lenox Community School District. Okay. State track.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's today.
It is.
So tell me about it.
Yeah, so today, tomorrow, and Saturday,
mm-hmm.
we had several individuals as well as relays qualify. Very fortunate to have a great group of kids. So I'd like to take a moment to recognize those student athletes on their accomplishments. So on the girls' side of things, shuttle hurdle relay qualified. Those individuals are Sadie Gallenhorst, Bristol Wyman, Alexis Steinhoff, and Carson Adams. Again, girls distance medley relay, Camille Dorscher, Bristol Wyman, Sadie Gallenhorst, Alexis Steinhoff. 4x400, again, Sadie Gallenhorst, Alexis Steinhoff, Camille Dorscher, Carson Adams. 100-meter hurdles, Carson Adams and Bristol Wyman. And 400-meter hurdles, Carson Adams, and finally, on the girls' side of things, Ella Gady. And both Carson Adams and Ella Gady, they actually set new school records this year in the hurdles and the discus. So that was great for them.
Very cool.
Boys' side of things, shuttle hurdle relay, White Silk, Owen Johnson, Callan Kaiser, and Dane Laverty. And the boys' 100-meter hurdles, White Silk, and boys' discus, R.J. DeShong. And obviously, we have great athletes, but part of that success is due to our coaches who put in their time and effort, and we like to recognize them as well. So on the girls' side of things, head coach is Rachel Larson, assistant is Carla Wilson, and boys' head coach is Andy Everett, and our assistant boys' coach is Andy Hartman. So again, good luck to them over the next few days, and like to see them bring home some medals. And even if they don't, congratulations and wish them the best of luck.
Making it to state's a pretty big deal.
Absolutely.
So that's pretty cool. Elementary track and field is today.
It is.
Is that right?
So keeping the theme of track, so this is an annual event here for elementary kids, and we certainly like to invite parents and the community that like to come in and watch. And so we kind of split it up a little bit into age groups. So we start off with the K through second grade group. Their track meet time is from 9:30 to 11:30. And then we take a little break for lunch, and then the third to fifth graders come and have their meet, and their time is from 12:15 to 2:15. And then we have a color run at 2:30. So it's kind of a fun time for all, and split those events up, and it's a good time.
Very good. That's today. So go and enjoy.
It is. Yep.
That's a fun time.
It is.
Is this preschool? Preschool celebration?
Yep. So this was scheduled for Monday afternoon, but we rescheduled. We had a little concern about the weather that day, so we canceled that. Not canceled, but rescheduled. So we're going to do that in the evening instead, just because of switch in weather. But the celebration is going to be at noon today in the auditorium.
Yeah.
And we're going to do a little activity in the playground, a little paint party afterwards. And so if parents can make it, and we apologize for the rescheduling. We just, again, had some concern about the weather and wanted everybody to be safe. And sometimes better safe than sorry.
You bet. So. Well, you want everyone to be safe. And the way the weather was, that's probably a good call on that. So. To your point earlier, softball, baseball, we're underway, aren't we?
Off and rolling, one thing in the next, right? Track right into softball, baseball. So some upcoming events or games next week, May 26th, both JV and varsity softball are at East Mills at 5:30. On the 27th, JV varsity baseball at Earlham, 5:30. Excuse me, not at Earlham, home versus Earlham, 5:30. And then softball, which is technically a home game, but as a reminder, we are sharing with CAM.
Okay.
And we're having some of our home games at CAM to give them the opportunity to have some home games. So this is technically a home game for us, but it is at CAM, again, on the 27th versus Earlham at 5:30. May 28th, both softball and baseball, JV and varsity at Bedford, 5:30. And the final game that week on the 29th, again, JV and varsity, baseball and softball at Sydney, 5:30. So a lot of opportunities to watch baseball, softball games next week.
Very cool. So class, yeah, tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow's the last day for both Griswold and Lennox.
Yes, sir.
All right. Very cool. What else do we need to touch on, Mr. Henrich?
So, as I told you off the air, I am a radio flipper, but I do listen to, you're one of the stations that I do flip to, and
Thank
I listen to you and Mr. Lorenz on the way here. So I would like to echo a topic that you guys were talking about. Greatly appreciate what your radio station does for our school district in terms of promoting and appreciate the support that you provide.
Thank you.
Our school district. Today and every day as well. So thanks for all that you do every day for us.
Appreciate that very much, Mr. Henrich, and we love to do it. So thank you much. Make it a great day.
Thank you.
Dave Henrich with me, superintendent of the Griswold and the Lennox Community School District.
For 80 years, Griswold Communications has provided telecommunication services to Griswold.